ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रम् अत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीम् राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिकामाधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितः कृपया श्रीगुरुं सन्नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः परकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनतन्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्वितांश्च। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Last night I was reading words of wisdom from the Puranas compiled by Purna Pragya Das, and I'll read from there some extracts. This is from Brahma Vaivarta Purana. And one of the 12 Mahajans speaking, Yamaraj. As you all know, Yamaraj has a unique function within universal affairs. He's the one great devotee who most people get to see. They get direct darshan of him. But he's the one Mahajan who we try to avoid, at least in his universal function, we want to avoid him. We'll be very happy to bow our heads at his lotus feet as a great devotee, but we don't really want to go to see him to have a first-hand experience of hell. So anyway, Yamaraj speaking. One who does not provide food and drink to a hungry and thirsty brahmana who arrives at one's door falls into a hell full of flames. After suffering in hell, he is born as a bird for 7 lives. And it goes on like this. On and on. If one eats sweets alone, he falls into a hell where he consumes mucus. Thereafter he is born as a ghost in Bharatavarsha. So that ghost who's wandering around the ashram must have been eating sweets without sharing them. One who does not maintain his elderly parents and other dependents falls into hell and then is born as a ghost. One who dislikes the arrival of a guest will suffer in hell and then be born as a pauper for 7 births. Pauper means a poor person. This one's really gross. A woman who consumes a man's semen and a man who performs a similar act will fall into a pit of semen in hell Thereafter, such persons become a germ inside a woman's vagina. Well, one thing we can understand from this, that we know the present age is very degraded, but it's not that degradation didn't exist in former times also. One who despises a person who constantly chants the holy name of the Lord falls into a lake of tears in hell and then is reborn as a chandala. One who laughs at a deaf person falls into a pit of liquid wax in hell and then is born as a deaf pauper for 7 births and then as a deformed person for 7 more births. One who sells his daughter falls into hell and then is reborn as a worm in stool for 60,000 years. Falls into hell, just says falls into hell. Doesn't get into detail about the sufferings. Then is reborn as a worm in stool for 60,000 years. After that, he is born as a hunter for 7 lives. Exactly what the Sanskrit is, I don't know. It may be Nishad, the jungle dwellers. A pig for 3 lives. A dog for 7 lives. A frog for 7 lives, a leech for 7 lives, and a crow for 7 lives. The foolish man who indulges in sex with his pregnant wife falls into a pit of molten copper. That doesn't mean that if you have a PhD and you do it, you get saved. It means you're a fool for doing it. One who eats food cooked by a widow having no son, or a woman in her period, falls into a hell of molten iron and is thereafter reborn as a washerman for 7 lives and then as a blacksmith. A woman who speaks harshly to her husband, giving him great mental agony, falls into a pit of thorns in hell. The Yamadutas beat her with rods. Thereafter, she is born as a woman with a long neck for 7 lives. I'm not sure exactly how having a long neck is considered something undesirable, but there it is. One who kills another by administering poison falls into a pit of poison in hell and is thereafter reborn as a murderer for 7 births. After that, he is born as a leper for 7 lives. A brahmana who eats meat is not exactly clear what the context is, because it is allowed for brahmanas to eat meat under certain circumstances. We find in the Bhagavatam, there's a story of Agastya being served meat. For instance, but I don't think here in South India you have any caste brahmanas who are meat eating. In North India you do, and Bengalis and Oriyas, they eat fish and everything. But in North India, this Atal Bihari Vajpayee, Brahmin Vajpayee, he was a meat eater. In their caste, they eat. Exactly what the excuse is, I don't know. But anyway, it says here, a brahmana who eats meat is thrown into a pit of insects in hell. Thereafter, he is born as a malecha for 3 lives and then as a brahmana. One who kills a non-poisonous snake falls into a pit of snakes in hell and is thereafter reborn as a snake. So you have to be careful which snakes you kill. I guess you should know. You might not have time to look and check and see. Is it poisonous? No, but then you find out, poisonous, dead. So I guess in the villages, people, they have an idea which one is which. So one who which is poisonous and which is non-poisonous. So one who kills a non-poisonous snake falls into a pit of snakes in hell and is thereafter reborn as a snake. When he finally attains the human form of life, he is always troubled by pain in his teeth and lives a short life. Due to being bitten by a snake, he dies a painful death. So we can see that just if we're saying killing a snake, so what? But yes, there's something going on there. One who kills small insects falls into a pit of pus in hell, where he is continuously bitten by insects. For killing insects, you have to go to hell. Thereafter, he is born as an insect on the earth for many lives. When he finally comes to the human form of life, he is born with a deformed body. One who collects honey by killing bees falls into a pit of poison in hell. After being tortured by the Yamadutas, he is born as a bee. A king who is very greedy to accumulate wealth and thus exploits his subjects falls into a pit of scorpions in hell and then is born as a scorpion for seven lives. After attaining the human form of life, he receives a deformed body. So a very big king, but he may be heading for a very bad future. One who passionately looks at the breasts and face of another's wife falls into a hell full of crows that continuously bite him. Thereafter, he is born as a blind person. One who lives off the earnings of a prostitute and eats food cooked by her is thrown into hell and then is born with ailments of the eyes and stomach. One who acts deceitfully with members of his family is thrown into hell and then reborn as a hunchback. One who eats the meat of tortoises is thrown into a hell of tortoises that eat his flesh. Tortoise, turtle. Maybe in the coastal areas people eat turtles. I used to see in Chittagong in Bangladesh. A very unhappy thing to see because it's on the coast and in the bazaar on the street, just like they have vegetables on the street, they have these turtles put upside down so they're just waving their arms like this. They can't move. And someone comes along and chooses one and then they take home, smash and kill and eat. Very nasty to see. While I'm on the subject and Chittagong, I have something I remember so horrible and nasty. I was waiting to board the ship. It's more than a boat. It's a ship which crosses the sea to an island off the coast of Bangladesh. This is at Chittagong. Off the coast means if you look on the map, it's within the Ganga Delta. But it's a sea crossing to reach it. The island's name is called Sandeep. So the boat had just come in from Sandeep and they're unloading chickens from Sandeep, which are being sent to Chittagong for people to eat. It was so horrible that they have in big baskets and they just throw them from the ship down to, and they fall on the ground. So the chickens are all inside, crammed inside, and they suffer terrible pain, probably their bones are broken, and you hear them chirping in a way in great distress, and no one cares. So horrible. I can't say anything. There's nothing I can say or do to stop that. Very nasty to see. People don't think. They think it's allowed by their religion. They have to suffer terribly for such activities. So continuing. The one who eats the meat of tortoises is then reborn as a tortoise or a pig for three lives, a cat for three lives, and a peacock for three lives. A plunderer who kills others and steals their wealth falls into a hell where he is cut to pieces by swords while remaining without food. Thereafter he is born as a chandala for 100 lives, a pig for 100 lives, a dog for 100 lives, a jackal for 100 lives, a hyena for 3 lives. A hyena, I guess that, I'm not sure, because they say jackal and then hyena, but hyena you don't get in India. So the shastras are written for an Indian audience. So I'm not exactly sure what that means, because I don't have the Sanskrit here. A rhinoceros for 3 lives and a buffalo for 3 lives. One who is a terrible backbiter and fault finder, criticizing even brahmanas and the demigods, falls into a hell where he is pricked by needles. He is then reborn as a scorpion or snake for 7 lives, an insect for 7 lives, and ultimately as a human being that suffers from terrible diseases. One who kills a cow, horse, or elephant is thrown into a hell where he is beaten with elephant tusks. Thereafter, he is reborn as a malecha. The brahmana who drinks liquor and the brahmana who eats on Ekadashi surely fall into hell. A woman having one husband is a chaste woman. A woman with 2 husbands is called kulata. Now, you may wonder how you can have 2 husbands. Well, maybe she's a prostitute type who keeps more than one on the side. It may be divorced and remarried, it's not clear. A woman with 3 husbands is called Darshini. A woman with 4 husbands is called Pungschali. A woman with 5 husbands is called a prostitute. Again, I don't have the Sanskrit, so it's difficult to know exactly, because often these words, they don't have exact words for translation into English. So some word is used in the English translation to try to convey the idea. A woman with 6 husbands is called Yogini, and a woman with more than 6 husbands is called a great prostitute. She is considered untouchable. A brahmana who enjoys the company of any of these, except his chaste wife, falls into a terrible hell. Thereafter, he is reborn as a crow, cuckoo, hyena, pig, or shamaratri at a crematorium. One who eats during a solar or lunar eclipse is thrown into hell. Thereafter, when reborn as a human being, he suffers from stomach ailments and arthritis and loses his teeth. The woman who looks at her husband with great anger in her heart and utters abusive words is thrown into a hell where the Yamadutas thrust burning wood into her mouth. When she is reborn on the earth, she becomes a widow for 7 births. When a Brahmana woman has sexual relations with a Shudra, she will fall into hell where she must remain in a reservoir of dirty water while being forced to drink it. Thereafter, she is born as a female crow for 1,000 lives, a female pig for 100 lives, a doe for 100 lives, a female jackal for 7 lives, a female pigeon for 7 lives, and then in a family of chandalas. After that, she is born as a washerwoman suffering from tuberculosis, and then as a prostitute. After that, she is born as a woman who manufactures oil, means in the Teli caste, that suffers from leprosy. At this time, she becomes purified of her previous sins. After suffering in hell, prostitutes are born as worms in stool. So not much difference between being in hell and being a worm in stool. Brahmanas who earn their livelihood as astrologers or physicians fall into a hell where they are bitten by serpents. Thereafter, for 7 births each, they are reborn as astrologers, physicians, cowherds, carpenters, and sculptors of conch shells. So you get the general idea. Don't do any sins. But it's hard not to. One thing is that we may do, even unknowingly, if we're walking on the path and we unknowingly step on an ant and kill the ant, then we're unknowingly killing the ant. Or we may mistake a a non-poisonous snake for a poisonous snake and kill it. We have in the Bhagavatam this story. Oh, who is a Puruvara? He went out at night to protect the sheep of Urvashi from a tiger was coming, and in the dark night he saw the tiger coming and cut the head, but in the morning he saw it was a cow. Was that Puruvara and Urvashi? There's a story like that, or there was someone else who did that. In the Bhagavatam, that story is there. No, he went out naked at night. I'm getting mixed up. No, there's another one. A tiger came to attack the cowshed, and he, another king, and then he accidentally killed the cow in the dark. But he took it as an opportunity to become fully Krishna conscious. So we may do by mistake also. But even we may do, not exactly by mistake, but because our conditioning is such. And Arjuna asks about that in Bhagavad Gita. Atha kena prayukta yam papam charati purushaha anicchan, without even desiring in it. Anicchan eva varshnaya baladiva niyojita. You don't want to do it, but you still do. It's almost as if you're forced. Why is that? And then Krishna says, Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samadbhavaha, mahasana mahapapma, vidhi namiyavaha vairinam. That it's due to material desire and anger. Anger here is like, there's the desire, and here anger is the impelling force, strong force that overcomes our intelligence. And it is the great enemy within our heart. And then Krishna goes, he speaks quite a few verses about how how by knowing this to be our enemy, we should overcome it. Not very easy. We find in Gita again, Vita raga baya krodha manmaya mamu pashritaha bahavo jnana tapasa putamad bhavam agataha. That persons who become free of attachment, fear, and anger, not very easy. It's not very easy to become free of these things. Vita ragavaya krodha, manmaya mamu parashrita. With their minds absorbed in me, taking shelter in me in the parampara system, upashrita. Bahavo, many have done it. By jnana, by studying the shastra, and by austerities, they became purified and came to madbhavam, to my level of consciousness. So they became puta, they became purified of sins. Puta is a word which is generally translated as pure, but in the specific context of being purified of sins, that word comes again later in Gita, trividyamang somapa puta papao, by following the Vedic system and offering sacrifices and drinking soma ras, becoming purified of the sins. So you may think, well, just drink some soma ras, but it's not so easy. It's not just that anyone can drink soma ras. It specifically means you have to drink soma ras after the sacrificial performance, as not everyone can do the sacrifice, only highly qualified brahmanas under certain conditions. And then the brahmanas can drink the soma ras, and the yajaman, who may be a kshatriya generally, a king, he can also drink the soma ras. So not that everyone can. And then again the problem is that the tendency to sin is there. So you may say, well, what, I'm supposed to be talking about tirthas, right? They're not. Okay, now I'm going to talk about tirthas. Then you can understand why people are so eager to go to tirthas. Because going there is not easy if you have to walk a long way and you're supposed to perform austerities on the way. And all the rituals you're supposed to perform there are not easy, but it's a lot easier than doing the severe prayaschitta atonements, that's described. Where is that described? How one person came and asked the Bhattacharya. The Bhattacharyas are those who you go to them and you ask them, I did this sin, and what do I do for atonement? So he said that, well, someone killed a spider. So what do they have to do for atonement? And the Bhattacharya says they have to do a Chandrayana Vrata, they have to follow, which means for 1 month you follow according to the month begins at the Pratipat after the Purnima first day. So then that's you can take 14 bites of food in 1 day, that's all. And that sounds okay. The next day in 13, the next day 12, and then you take, till you get down to Amavasya, where you can take maybe one, or maybe it's zero, and then again, like this, and then you can start eating more. So, and there are other things to follow. It's a severe penance in which you have to go hungry during the middle of the month. And then the person said, because he's making fun of the Bhattacharya, so he says, well, actually it was your son who did it. He killed the spider. He said, oh, really? Well, let me look at my books again. He found some easy way to overcome it. The point is that people do all kinds of sinful activities. How to get free from it? The Tirthas offer an easy way by bathing in the Ganga. One is freed from sins. So people, you can imagine that people, they hear these words from the Puranas, they regularly hear such things, and they become afraid, and they should become afraid. It's very difficult to lead a completely pure life. The prime example is there of Nriga Maharaj. He was trying to be absolutely pious, performing so many pious activities, but accidentally he performed some impious activity. Accidentally means there's no real thing as an accident. It means impelled by his previous actions. He had some reaction whereby, by mistake, he gave the same cow to two different brahmanas. He would give so many cows to each brahmana, and one cow wandered from one group to another and got given again, and for that he had to suffer the hellish existence of a lizard. And it's really hellish. You see lizards running around here. If they could probably, you could take a movie of it and blow it up and make it into a dinosaur for them. I mean, they really look horrible, don't they? I mean, they're harmless. Pretty, I don't know if they ever bite humans, but they really look horrible. And probably that's what they used to do in those early days of special effects. They'd find these little lizards and blow them up and have little humans running away from them. But actually, they run away from us. Was this? But look, their features are so grotesque. Chameleons, they run around here. Sometimes you see them. They come out of the bush and they're green, and then they come in the sunlight and half their body goes yellow and like that. It's a horrible existence. And it looks so ugly and gross and grotesque. But this is what you get. This is what is waiting for us. And it's very hard to avoid that. But if we go to a tirtha and bathe and do all that's required, then we can become free from the sins that we've committed. And that's why people, they like to go to Varanasi to die. Because even if you're a great sinner in Varanasi, if you can die there, that's all you have to do to get liberated. People have faith in that. Even just on the bank of the Ganga, Varanasi is on the bank of the Ganga. So anywhere on the bank of the Ganga, you can be. But especially Varanasi, and you'll be freed from sin. So we can understand why people are so anxious to go to holy places. Nowadays, people don't have so much fear of sin because they don't hear about it. who's telling tales from the Puranas. And another thing is that sinfulness has been institutionalized in Indian life. And I'm not talking about minority communities. I'm talking about in the majority community, namely Hindus. For instance, abortion. Srila Prabhupada often said that there's a horrible thing in the Western world, and it couldn't be imagined in India, where people are, they're happy to have children. But nowadays, it's there. It's just an accepted part of life. Again, going back to the 1970s, Calcutta, going down Chaurangi Street, the huge billboard with black background and writing in English, in white letters, abortion. That's all. And then some phone number or something like that. Shameless. Horrible thing. But it's just accepted, normal part of life. Contraception. What does contraception mean? You know what it means. Actually, the word has a wider usage than that connected with the sexual act. But it's become, when you say contraception, we identify with the sexual act because that has become its standard usage. I'm talking about the word contraception. These are very sinful activities. Masturbation is encouraged by great psychologists. It's good for you. Sinful activities. Then what about farming, the Green Revolution? One of the aspects of the Green Revolution was pesticides, in which, pesticide means killing pests. The very word pest. I saw one whole book in Hindi. Kitnashak, the word is a guide to all the different kinds you can buy. Killing the kit, the little insects. Very sinful. People didn't like to do it at first, but they got convinced. When the purpose of life became not to follow dharma, but to get money. Actually, they say you have to grow more food. We need more food for the country. But then it became a money thing. Farming nowadays means for money. It's all considered in terms of money. So in this way, the dharma is not the central point of life. People don't know what is dharma. They don't know about these descriptions from the Puranas. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that Ama jibon shada pape rata nahika punyara lesh. My life is full of... I'm always attached to sin, and there's no trace of piety in my life. Nahi pape dori. He says, I'm not even afraid of committing sins. That is the situation at the present time. Still people are going to tirthas. Exactly why some religious sentiment or someone didn't build a Disneyland yet, whatever the reason may be, still people are going. But that fear of sin, which is a healthy fear, because sin leads to terrible punishment. And then the goal of life, which is to become purified and Krishna conscious, is lost. So we should be very careful. And we should inform people about all these things also. And also, in this same Brahmavaivata Purana, it's also stated that all the holy places and all the holy waters are present in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We can print, there's the glorification of Bhagavatam. Anyone who has Bhagavatam in their house, their Lord Vishnu is very pleased with them. They're automatically free from sins. We can print this up and give it to people and they can buy the Bhagavatam. They'll be inclined to buy it more. Ek Krishna Nama Kare Sarva Papa Koi. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, summarizing so many statements from the Sanskrit Shastras, that even by chanting the holy name of Krishna once, all sins are destroyed. But then again, we know the story of the Brahmana in Kulinagram, who was chanting Harinam and became a Brahma Rakshasa, that story of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So one has to chant with purity also. Anyway, I just read that because that really puts into context the whole idea of going to Tirthas for crossing over the sinful punishments which otherwise very difficult to avoid. Then when we go to the holy place, then our account gets set to zero. We go from minus to zero. We might even get a little plus. But then the tendency is to go back and sin again. Kunjara sochavat. That Parikshit Maharaj says. It's like the bathing of an elephant who bathes very nicely in the river, very thoroughly, showering himself with his proboscis very well, and then comes onto the land and takes dust and with the same again showers himself with dust. Now I'm sure that has some biological function which the elephant isn't aware of. He just does it. It feels nice to him. But for a human to do that would be considered really strange. You can put dust and mud on your body before bathing, as some kind of, what do they call it, mud pack for beauty. Or for cleansing also. When we can put the mud on the bank of the river, that removes all the perspiration and oil, if maybe, on the body. If after having the body fully oiled, one has to apply that, what's that called? I can't remember. You can use besan, the chickpea flour, or there's some other more fancy thing you can use in Ayurveda also. Or you can just use, you go and bathe in the river and you use the mud from the river. So the thing is you have to do it first. Otherwise, like Jodh Bharat, he'd take a bath and then pastu. It becomes ridiculous. So actually going to a holy place and then again committing sin, it's ridiculous. But baladiva niyojita, we are as if impelled. Therefore, the best tirtha is a sadhu who can help us overcome that lower all these lower tendencies. So that is the subject that I plan to continue speaking on. It's really the everything we're doing in this human form of life, especially those of us who, by great good fortune, are taking to Krishna consciousness. It's from one perspective, this is what we are doing. We're here in this material world and we want to cross over, get out, go back home, back to Godhead. So, therefore this quite elaborate analysis of tirthas. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.